Find your way to the book of Philippians this morning. It's interesting. We often say that God is a God of providence, that everything is planned by Him on purpose for a purpose. I did not plan to be here this morning, and I didn't have any input into what was going on, but the scripture that was chosen is right in the middle of where I'm going. In verse 15, that we henceforth not live unto ourselves alone. An interesting text. This morning I'm going to talk to you out of Philippians chapter 2, because it's the way down that's the way up. Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up in due time. In simple terms, it means when you go through God's process and humble yourself and submit yourself to do it His way, in the process of getting it done, and you wait out the process, patiently doing the things that He's asked you to do, He develops character in you, and then as His character develops, He gives you new responsibilities and new rewards. And the way that you've taken that was down, where you humble yourself, becomes the way that you become exalted and productive within the kingdom. And so I wanted to talk about that, because Jesus came to do for us what I preached about the last time I was here. And of course, you all took very, very careful notes, except for those who didn't. It's interesting. Turn to your neighbor now and say, see, I told you you should have written this down, because he's going to ask, okay? Last time I told you how to have the very best year you've ever had in your life. How many remember what the principle was if you want to have the very best year you've ever had in your life? What's the principle? Somebody want to raise your hand? Quentin knows because I just told him in Sunday school class, but if I hadn't told him in Sunday school class, he wouldn't have known it either, so it's all right. The principle is this: find someone every day and serve them. Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. The word save is our word rescue. I've come to rescue it, to set it free, to deliver it from whatever was holding it down. David in the Psalm says that we ought to bless the Lord because He has delivered us from that which would destroy us, Psalm 103. Okay, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, okay, who delivers your soul from that which would destroy you is in there. That's what the language says. He rescues us from that. And the things that normally would destroy us are not the things that are out there. They're the things that are in here that mess us all up. God's at work liberating our mind, giving us freedom to be the people He created us to be. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, and the way we do that is in service to one another. Now, I want you to think about these texts with me, because we have to get a proper mindset in order to allow God to work in our heart and to help us. Matthew chapter 5, you know the text. Anybody tell me what you find in Matthew chapter 5? They are called the Beatitudes. This is the attitude that you ought to have. This is what you ought to become and the way you ought to think as you go through life in general. So the first attitude that he gives us is blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are those who are spiritually bankrupt and know it. People who know that they can't make it on their own, people who know how much they need God. One way of saying that is you're blessed when you come to the end of yourself, because when there's less of you, there's more room for God and his direction in your life. See, if you think that you can do it yourself, well, I don't need God. I got this one. I can handle this one. Well, maybe. Maybe not. But if you leave him out, you're destined to fail or to succeed more miserably. One of those two things will happen. But we're blessed when we realize how much I need him. Another thought is that I'm blessed when I've lost what I cherish the most. All those things that I thought supported me, all those things that I relied on. It's only when I stop relying on all of those things that I can be embraced by the one who truly loves me. That's why God says things to us like, come to me now and turn to me with all of your heart. Over and over again, we sang in the song, not just a part, he wants all of my heart. That's what he wants, is all of me. Not physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. He wants my soul to be connected and cemented to him. And when I do that, he said, then you're blessed. Because now you've come to a place where I can embrace you and you'll accept the things I have for you. And if you do those kind of things, they always produce good things in your life. But see, I have to understand that I need him. I can't get along without him. And I have to understand I can't rely on what I normally rely on. He's my answer. Because there's a way that seems right. You know the text, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so I should trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding. Include him in everything that I do, and then he directs my path. See, all of those things hook into this Philippians 2 text that I'm going to get to in a minute. See, it's how we think. It's what I choose to do. It's what I'm committed to. Faith is a great word, except for, like so many other biblical words, it's become encrusted with theological barnacles. Now, I'm a sailor, so I know what barnacles do. Barnacles drape all over the outside of ships and so on and slow them down and make them unproductive. Theological barnacles shift our focus off what the text is saying, and we start thinking philosophically rather than relationally. Because the Bible's a relational book. It tells me how to build a relationship with God and through him how to build a relationship with others that bring people in and include them and give them a world where I can serve and be productive. That's the idea behind the Bible, is that God is making you successful at life. I don't come to God to make him successful. He didn't ask me to become his people and serve him to make him successful. He's successful. He doesn't need me. He came and told me to become like him and learn how to serve the way that he serves, because that's the purpose that I have in life. And that's what will fulfill me and make me successful at life. And that'll set me free. Because until that point, when I think I've got my own resources and I got to hang on to them and grasp at all of these things, then I got to be defensive all the time. And once I become defensive, I become enslaved to everything around me, the world, the flesh, and the devil. They all enslave me because they trap me and they imprison me. Do you know how Satan imprisons us? Do you know how the world imprisons us? Y'all have that look of like deer in headlights. Have I lost you all together? I need to go back and start over. Deer in headlights is a scary look to me. Every time I see that look, something bad's going to happen to my car. I see that look here. I think something bad's going to happen to my sermon. Okay? Question mark. How does Satan trap us? Remember when Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter, who usually puts his foot in his mouth, takes his foot out and gives the right answer. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter said, "Bingo! Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And your name's Peter, not Simon, not wishy-washy anymore. You're the one who's established upon this rock, not Peter. The confession that he made, Peter's the prototype. His confession is the truth. And Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Question. What's the gates of hell? See, it's a very simple biblical question. What does a gate do? Okay, it keeps people out, but it also keeps people locked in. What does Satan have that keeps people locked in and people locked out? From the beginning, Satan is a liar and a thief and a murderer. He came only to deceive and to kill and to destroy. How does he do it? Lies. What do lies do? They blind us to the truth. What does the truth do? We already quoted it. It makes us free. The gates of hell are the lies that Satan tells. And see, when we come with the truth of the Word of God, the bars that Satan has put up, the gates that he has put up, are broken. And they set us free, and they set the captives free. That's what the kingdom of God does. He sends us out not armed with fleshly weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What do? They pull down the strongholds, cast down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against God. Why? Because it gives us the truth and we see with clarity, and God opens our eyes that were blind to what we were messed up in. And we say, "Oh!" Where did I just end up? Are you following along close? I'm back to my first beatitude. I desperately need you, for you are the truth. And if the Son of God will make me free, I'll be free indeed. How does he make me free? He tells me the truth. And if I walk in the light as he is in the light, truth, light, same thing, okay, then what does he do for me? The blood of Christ cleanses me from all the things that would destroy me. Because I have fellowship with him, and he rubs off on me. And my character grows. And as my character grows, he gives me more responsibility. See, sometimes my responsibility is, I know it's late, you only got 5 minutes, but can you take my place? Well, I guess. How am I doing so far? All of you nod and smile at me and say, great, great. I hope this goes on till 2 o'clock today. And your dinner will be cold out back, but I'll get you done on time, I hope. Okay? I haven't got to Philippians 2 yet, but I want you to get this background so you understand how God's kingdom runs. Does that make sense to everybody? See, it's very practical, very down to earth. Everything that God tells me, anyone could do. And it will always work. And so he says things, unless you become like a little child and just take my word for it and do it, you're not going to enter in. You're not going to put your trust in me. You're going to trust in what you can do. You can't enter in. Because the first beatitude are, blessed are those who know they're spiritually bankrupt and desperately need me. And when they know they're spiritually bankrupt and desperately need me, they run to me. Because the Lord is a high tower and a strong tower. And the righteous, those who will be made righteous, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, run into the strong tower and they are safe. See, all of this in your Bible, everything links up together in these thoughts that I'm sharing with you this morning. You open that up and everything just plugs in, plugs in, plugs in, plugs in. And when you take the things that you read and plug it in there, then you understand what God has called us to do and what our mission in this world is. So now Philippians chapter 2. If there is therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if you'd enjoy the fellowship of being in a body led by the Spirit, how's that for a paraphrase of that one? If you've appreciated God's mercies towards you, all those things that I experienced by doing it God's way, fulfill my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not think he had to hang on to all of his privileges, thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God. Didn't think he had to hang on to all of his privileges, but laid aside his rights and his privileges and took on himself the form of a servant and came into this world as a man. And being found in flesh and blood like a man, God himself humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see where I got it from, that the way down is the way up. Jesus, who is high, holy, lifted up, exalted, stepped out of heaven and stepped down into our world and took on himself our likeness with our limitations. And he humbled himself and he became the servant who gave his life to rescue us. And because he did that, God highly exalted him. That's the process. So I have to talk to you this morning about how God is going to work that out in our life. That he would open the door for us and help us to understand where he is going and how he will get us from where we are now to where he wants me to go. Don't push your way to the front. That's what he asked to do. Don't sweet talk your way into favor. Put yourself aside and help others get what they need. Now listen to what it says. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. Value people the way that God valued people. Whenever two people are gathered together, the most important one in the group is not you. It's what the other person needs. God has a very simple program for us in this text. And the very simple program works every time. It's the thing that draws people to God. When I prayed this morning, I prayed, and in my prayer I said, "We're here because you loved us first." Remember? How did that set with you? Did that lodge in and stick good? Because I want to talk about that a little bit. If he loved us first, how did I get to love him? I love him because he first loved me from 1 John. Right? But see, what happened is God commended his love towards me, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were still his enemies, God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever put their trust in him would not perish but have everlasting life. What is it that drew me to God? God loving me. What is it that will draw other people to God? God loving other people through me the way he loved the world through the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me into the world, even so send I you into the world." To value people. To set aside my own agenda long enough to help somebody else. See, because success is not how much I acquire, but success is how many people I help. The more people I help, the more I acquire. It just seems to work that way. Given it will be given where? Unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Where does it come from? Will men place in your bosom. In other words, what you give out comes back. What you sow, you reap. God's kingdom works different than our world. Our world says, step on people, push them aside, make your way to the top. God said, oh, no, no. Because if you make it that way, you get to the top and you're all by yourself and you're alone and then you crash and burn and die. And then it's legion. I just start naming names. Some of them are Christian leaders, some of them are political leaders, some of them are business leaders. They push their way to the top and then they crashed and burned. But see, if I decide that we're going to get there together, then we cross the finish line together and we celebrate together and we succeed together. That's the whole purpose and the whole focus of the Christian life. And so if I'm not obsessed with getting my own advantage all the time, but I'm directed and inspired to help you get what you really need to become the person God intended you to be. It will work out that way. Works out that way with husbands and wives. Interestingly enough, when you read the instructions about husbands and wives, wives, what's that nasty word? To who? Your job is not about you, it's about your husband. Give yourself to make your husband into the man that God intended him to be. See? Learn to make him a leader for you. Don't anticipate that he'll automatically be a leader, because we're not that smart, are we, guys? You know, somebody wrote a book, Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus. We're from different planets, it seems, a lot of the time. We're just wired completely different. But you show me a man who loves his wife the way that Christ loved the church and gives himself to perfect his wives and present it back to himself as a faultless bride without any problems. See, all the problems that are there, you probably created half of them or more than half of them, and it's your job as a husband to set yourself aside long enough to meet your wife's needs, and as you meet her needs, she's automatically drawn to you. And your needs are going to be way met more than you can ever imagine when that happens. Philippians 2, the way down is the way. Let us lay aside your rights and make the other person the trustee of your rights. Jesus put his life in the hands of people who hated him. Love your enemies, it said. Pray for those who despitefully use you. You see, very practical information when we think about it. Let's just, you know, take some of the barnacles off this now and think about it. See, if I'm dealing with people and giving to them the things that they really need, not necessarily the things that they're telling me they want, because sometimes the things they tell me that they want are things that are bad for them and hurt them. I used to tell my mother I want another candy bar, and she said, no, I'm going to give you Brussels sprouts. Brussels who? Why did she do that? Because I didn't know that Brussels sprouts were really good and they are good for you. Lo and behold, I ate Brussels sprouts, and I'd rather eat Brussels sprouts than chocolate. Now, I'm not a big fan of chocolate anymore. My wife never outgrew that. She still loves chocolate. I'm working on her. But all these crazy things that I eat now, because somebody loved me and gave me things that I really needed, and those things that I really needed, I discovered I really enjoyed, and I liked the result. I'm 70 years old, and I'm still healthy, because I eat healthy stuff. I'm glad. Because the way down is the way up. See, when I value people, and when I add value to people, they're drawn to that. When I edify people and build them up and I become a blessing to somebody else, they're drawn to that. When I share with people the things that I've learned that have helped me and it helps them, they're drawn to that. And you know what happens? They become my friends. And then I can discover I can lead my friends. Isn't that what Jesus said? You are my friends. I haven't called you servants, I've called you friends. Because I've shown you everything that the Father has given me to show you. Now you're my friend, your response back to me is, if you take seriously the things that I gave you to help you and put them to work in your life and they set you free, That's what I came to do, and you're my friend. So my Bible becomes infinitely practical at that point. It's a process by which I can humble myself under the mighty hand of God. His authority comes on top of my life, and I say, yes, Lord, I'll do it your way. And I lay aside my agenda long enough to reach into the lives of those people around me and make a difference for them. Therefore, I'm not using people to get my advantage. I'm helping people so that they grow. And guess what happens? Happy am I. Why? Because that's why God made me. That's why he made you. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has foreordained when he loved us first. He designed for us the things that will fulfill us and satisfy us and liberate us and complete us and give us satisfaction. And they said, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy down, and I'm going to turn you loose. Loose to what? Loose to be the people I designed you to be. People who are like the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what his will is for my life? Last time I read Romans 8, which was the day before yesterday, it was still in there. God predestined us. He loved us first and designed his plan because he loved us and he knew what was going to happen and he knew what we were going to be doing each day. He designed us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Isn't that how he created you? In the beginning, God created, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them. Which means I can't do it on my own. I need somebody else. I need God in it. I need somebody else so I can give God's love to the people around me. It's not good that the man should be alone. Why is it not good for the man to be alone in Genesis? Because by himself, he can't display the love of God. There's nobody to display it to. Loving myself isn't about being focused on me. The way that I love myself is I love those who are there. They're the ones that God has given me today. I used to get bothered, you know, I'd call and visit on people and, oh yeah, we'll be there, Pastor. And then they never showed up. Do you know that used to really gripe me? You find it hard that I can get irritated and stuff at things like that, right? That used to really gripe me until I understood that God put the people there who he intended to be there. Who are the people that I ought to give my very best to? The ones he's put right in front of me. I don't know if this is very good or not, but it's the best I can do, so, you know. That's the place I invest. Does it mean you guys will always do exactly what I expect you to do? Probably not. What do I do then? Do whatever you need. Okay. All sorts of things I can do. You know what I do? The New Testament words, all the one another words in the New Testament. That's how I go about it. Love one another, care for one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, sometimes rebuke one another. Huh? Sometimes you get a switch and stripe their leg and make them smart. Twice. That's what my dad would say. Get a switch, I'll make you smart. Boy, I'll say, I got smart twice, right? When he applied it, and I was smart enough to never go there again. I got smart twice. You see how easy it is for us as God's children to get off sidetracked? It's not just what we know, it's what we do with what we know. And so you need things like this to keep you on focus. How many people do you run into every day who have problems that they can't handle and are in big messes they can't get over? What do? Serve them. Paul said, I become all things to all people that by all means I might rescue, win some. Loose terms, I become just about every kind of servant that you can imagine. Sometimes I was a servant who wiped people's noses and behinds for them because they couldn't do it themselves. They were little babies. Sometimes I became an educator because they were misinformed. Sometimes I became a cheerleader because they just needed somebody to stand beside them and say, go get them, boy, you can do it. You can. If I can do this, you can do this. Little children can do this. Anybody can do this. And it always works. I say those kind of things and people look at me and say, it can't be that simple. It is. You expect God to give us complicated things? He knows how dense we are. He remembers our frame, that we're but dust. You ever get dust to do anything except collect underneath your bed? What are those little things that run around underneath there? Oh, little dust clinkers? When I was in college, I cleaned my room like once a month, and I only cleaned it because in the night I'd wake up and I could hear them down there plotting the overthrow. I'd just chase them all out then. But you can't do much with dust. So God never gives us anything really complicated. Basic stuff. Serve them. Meet their needs. All the one another things that you can do. And God will bless you. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made like unto man. And being found in the likeness and fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. This is the one who had equal status with the Father. All points like him. When the time came, he set aside all of his privileges. You know when your time comes? Whenever somebody else shows up. That's when my time is. I don't need some divine calling because the ministry is all around me. I forget who it was. Some general was confronted by one of his captains, said, we're surrounded, there's no way for us to get out. What should we do? Start fighting, you can't miss them. They're all right there. A good answer, huh? I like that attitude. People right there, they're the ones I minister to. I don't need a system. All I have to do is tell them what God has told me, how God has set me free, how God has helped me through things, things that I've learned on the way that have helped me see my way out of the prisons that I put myself in, the lies that I believe that now I don't believe anymore, and they've given me freedom to be the person that I wanted to be. Just I share those things with people. You know what they do? They give me the deer in headlight look. And then they go and think about it. And then they come back and I say, that was interesting. Tell me more. So I tell them some more. Before very long, you know what you do? You get to see the light start coming on in their eyes, and where they were dead, they start showing signs of life. Isn't that a great one? Okay. Missionaries know that. They got it. You tell them some more, and before very long, those that you've led start becoming leaders. And then it really gets exciting, doesn't it? Because once you start becoming a leader, you become hungry. Because you have nothing to give out unless you've taken it in. Those who, I'm to another beatitude now, aren't I? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they'll be filled. Those who have worked up a good spiritual appetite, because what God serves up is really satisfying. And see, I'm just getting started. Because the whole Bible is put together that way. It's 59 and time for us to quit. But I could easily go 2-3 hours if you like. How many like me go 2-3 hours? Now I'm disheartened and disappointed. Here I thought I was doing my very best. 12 o'clock straight up. You want to have the best year you've ever had? What was my message? Find somebody every day and serve them. And this will be the best year, 2025, with all the problems that we have, with inflation the way it is, with government uncertainty, with world conflict, with all sorts of people trying to rob me and take all of my freedoms away from me, with all of that, I don't need any of those things. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that's what I just told you this morning. What is the kingdom of God? Love one another. Serve one another. Help one another, lead one another to me. That's the thing. It'll be the best year you ever had. Don't take my word for it. I can guarantee it, but not on my say-so. Take God's word for it. His kingdom will not fail you, he promised. Believe it, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. Shall we pray?